IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show.
Good
with Greg
morning
Hughes.
To you, and you're very welcome back to the programme. Coming up very shortly, so don't go anywhere. Garda Grainne Doherty will be in studio with me, bringing you the latest appeals and information from Ungada Shia Connor. So that's coming up for you live right now. That's another item you can watch on the programme if you want to. On YouTube, on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, you can throw us up there. Got a picture yesterday of it was so cosy, except for my ugly face on the screen. The lovely curved flat screen TV, you know, that curved one. I never really had a go at one of those. Above a lovely open fire, sitting on the couch watching the show, which is great. And I hope you're with us again today. We're on Facebook as well. Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on X as well. Right, so as I say, Garda Grainne is going to join us very shortly. Regards school coats, my son is in secondary school in Milford, and what that lady said is true. They have to wear school coat only. If they don't, they get a bad note, and so many notes leads to a detention. It's even the same with the PE gear. Can't wear a regular tracksuit, has to be the crested one. Some parents can't afford the coats or the PE gear. If you have the crested gear, you can wear it all day. If not, you have to change before and after. It's not fair to be expected to pay the price for coats when they can only wear them to school anyway. Well, that's a turn up for the books. I've long been against, purely because of struggling to find the money in the past, long been against being compelled to buy certain jumpers at certain prices and then the PE stuff at certain prices and so on and so forth. I didn't know they were doing it with coats in certain schools. Margaret was spot on in what she said. This is from my son's school policy. I had to buy the coat yesterday at €75. What I mean, like, do people not realise that we're struggling here? We've got the lowest disposable income here. We've got some of the lowest wages here. We've got some of the highest unemployment here in the country. We're in a cost of living crisis, and parents are being forced to spend 75 quid on a specific coat when they can go down the road to a store in Letterkenny or wherever you happen to be listening to us from and get a really good warm coat for, you know, for a tenner or €15. My child's school has a policy where they need to wear a black coat or a school crested coat to try and stop the competition of style, but it's still there with certain brands being requested by the child that they'll only be able to wear at school from the bus to the door. Plus, as Greg said, they don't wear coats 99% of the time. Greg, the Royal Prior has this policy. Another, you need to have a school policy on uniform and coats because it gets out of hand otherwise. Well, that's the flip side. But, you know, I would say what parents are finding, if this is the rules, you know, and you can wear black coats and someone gets, you know, your North Face coats or your Nike coats or whatever, just or your 7 Degrees coats or whatever happens to be in trend at the moment. And if you can't run to that cost, like, your child might say, I'm not wearing a coat today. I don't want to wear a coat. I mean, is that why some kids aren't going to school with coats? Because their parents can't afford to match the style, even if there is a policy in relation to this. So the children are preferring to go in cold rather than be shown up because of their jackets. That's awful for the parents to be put under that pressure. I mean, is that happening out there? Because this is news to me. My only exposure is to one school, you see, so it's not that I'm out of touch. It's just it's not the case in the school that Aaron attends. Now, there are no telling lies. My two go to... No, they weren't telling lies, of course. My two go to Claudie's school and get in trouble for coats. They actually panic about it. Okay, this is something we need to talk about more. The Gardaí have now deployed the riot police to areas that have protests outside housing immigrants. Instead of listening to the people, Gardaí are now stopping these protests with force. Anthony on Facebook, the government have changed their approach to bringing refugees. They've deployed the riot squad, so the views of local communities don't matter. And the government have responded by sending in the heavy mob. This shows the contempt they have for the Irish people. A bit unfortunate for the Gardaí too, who are instructed in what to do. Other countries have gas installation and it's ready available to them. Here in Donegal, gas is not available everywhere. That is why turf burning is so important, especially for those who don't have other heating options. You can get a tank of gas too, though, can't you? Similar to home heating oil. I think quite a few do have that. Greg, can't keep services open, but look at all the money spent housing illegals. They're not illegals, but I take your point. They're only illegals once they're... officially, according to the government, once they've been refused right to stay here. Last one, just before we take the bingo numbers. I 100% would love if assisted dying was allowed in Ireland. My husband had been told to take me to Sweden or Iceland in case I'm ever unable to function, but my mind is awake. That to me would be living hell. I've watched my mum suffer in death. She had cancer and it was a horrible way to die. It's inhumane, and a dog wouldn't be allowed to die like that. I think if there is 100% no hope of a life, then let them get a wee injection and save the pain of family watching and the dignity of the patient as well. And in some countries, it's actually a vial, effectively, that's in that is consumed. My thing is the protections. As we were sort of saying yesterday, that sometimes people feel they're a burden and when they're not. There are people. It's just a very tough one. I can't formulate the words to do the topic justice, to be honest with you, just at this time. I'd have to think a little bit more about it. But I just hope it is, if it is introduced here, that it's not that people don't feel compelled to go down that route. Not because they don't want to need care. But because they don't want to put pressure on their family to provide that care, things like that. It would break my heart if people were choosing to do that. Or maybe that's their right as well. I don't know. But it would be very saddening to me if people felt that they were a burden, or they were trying to do other people a favour and had this option and were starting to take that option. That would just be one of the issues that that would be there for me. Again, though, as I say, I am just like, I presume, an awful lot of people out there. I'm just working through it in my own head at the moment. And dependent on the conversations that you have and the compelling arguments that you hear, my views are very open to change right across the board. And certainly in that area, I would trust those that know more about it than I would. My only initial reaction is what I feel inside. But as I say, like most issues, if I speak to the right people and get the right sort of information, those views can change as well.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. It is Tuesday the 16th of January 2024 and it's time for Community Garda information, and we're joined in studio today by Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne.
Morning, Greg.
It's good to have you back on the programme. Okay, well, we'll start with appeals and it's a situation in Bridgend Garda is seeking the public's assistance in relation to.
Yes, so Gardaí are investigating a number of incidents of criminal damage and an incident of the hijacking of a car. This car was a grey Seat Altea, Northern Irish registration. It's a 2012 model. This occurred in Bridgend Village on Sunday the 14th of January, and these incidents occurred in and around 8:30 p.m. So investigating Gardaí are appealing for any witnesses to these incidents to come forward. They're particularly appealing to anybody who was in that area with a dash cam from the Bridgend area between 8:15 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. to make contact. So it would be within Bridgend itself, within the main thoroughfare of the village itself. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Burnfoot Garda Station on 074 936 8194. The Garda Confidential line, as always, in relation to any of our appeals, can be contacted on 1800 666 111 or, of course, any Garda Station if you wish to call in.
Gardaí investigating a burglary of a business premises in Kildaff.
Yeah, so this burglary happened at a business premises at Main Street, Kildaff. This happened in the early hours of Tuesday the 9th of January, in and around between midnight and 6:20 a.m. So the rear door of this premises was forced open and entry was gained. A substantial amount of cigarettes and cash were stolen from this premises. So we're appealing to anybody who may have been in that area, they've seen something untoward, out of the ordinary, to give us a buzz. If anybody is offered cigarettes, maybe in bulk, for sale, you know, or bulk packets of cigarettes, we'd like to know about that immediately. If anybody was in the area, if they have any information, residents in that area also, if they noticed any suspicious activity, any relevant information can be passed on to Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540, and as always, again, the Garda Confidential line, 1800 666 111.
An investigation launched into a burglary in Mallon.
Yeah, so this happened in around the same dates, I think. Yeah, this burglary happened at a yard at Priestfield, Mallon, between 3 p.m. on Monday the 8th of January and 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 9th. Entry was gained to this yard. The gate lock was forced open. When entry was gained to the yard, a lock then on a shed was forced open within the yard, and a Honda power washer and approximately 1,000 litres of diesel were stolen. So we're appealing again to anybody who may be able to assist with relevant information in relation to this incident to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
All right, and a theft from a car in Muff now.
Yeah, so this happened in the area of the Springfield Estate in Muff between Friday the 12th of January at 4 p.m. and midday on Saturday the 13th of January. So a resident in that estate parked their car at their house and discovered the following day that both the front and rear registration plates were stolen from the car. And this has been quite a common theme recently. I think over the past few weeks we've had incidents, similar types of incidents, where number plates are being stolen from cars. If anybody observed any suspicious activity in and around Springfield Estate and Muff between those dates, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 074 932 0540. And should anybody have this happen, you know, should somebody go out and even their front or rear registration plate is stolen from their car, we would ask them and advise them to contact Gardaí and make us aware of it, just in case those plates were to be used again in a serious incident.
It is an interesting one, because I think maybe if it was one, maybe someone might, you know, think it's fallen off and not be minded to contact Gardaí. But obviously in this case, the front and back.
Yeah.
And it is likely, I don't think we're giving anyone any ideas, that these number plates then are used to conceal the true identity of a vehicle.
Well, that would be the worry, really. You know, that would be our worry. So we do, anybody that, somebody may think it's not really relevant. I don't want to be wasting the guard's time. It's most certainly not a waste of our time, and we do want to hear about it. Most especially, as you said, if your front plate was missing, you would think maybe it hit a bump and the plate fell off.
Yeah.
But the fact that both plates were stolen, there's a more sinister element to that.
So keep an eye out for that as well. And as well as that too, once you've flagged it and reported it, presumably then the Gardaí have it flagged somewhere or other, so that if it's involved, it can quickly eliminate you from being tied into anything or something. So it's very much in the victim's interest to let the Gardaí know, even if they suspect maybe it fell off. Right, Gardaí looking for information in relation to a road crash in St Johnston.
Yeah, so this collision happened on the Derry Road out of St Johnston on Saturday the 13th of January in around 8:45 p.m. So a blue BMW with partial registration of RNZ, it was travelling from Lifford towards St Johnston when it struck a car that had been travelling in the opposite direction. The driver of this BMW didn't remain at the scene, and thankfully the driver of the car that had been struck wasn't injured. We believe that this BMW was then driven across the border, following the incident. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the area of St Johnston or on the road between Lifford and St Johnston between 8:15 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. who had a dash cam, particularly, to make that footage available to Gardaí. If anybody witnessed this collision also, of course, we ask them to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
And it's kind of a reappeal in relation to an incident in December in Buncrana now.
Yeah, so this incident happened at Ardravan Square in Buncrana on Monday the 18th of December, and Gardaí in Buncrana have just asked me today to reissue this appeal. They do believe that there were witnesses in the area who perhaps haven't been in contact with them yet, so we're just making a reappeal today in relation to it. A female youth, she was struck by a vehicle at that location. She did sustain injuries, none of which, thankfully, are life-threatening in nature. We're appealing firstly for the driver of this car involved to make contact with Gardaí. It's believed that this driver did stop at the scene for a short period of time and then left the area again. So the vehicle has been described as being a dark-coloured saloon-style vehicle, possibly an Audi. And we're asking again, we do believe that somebody did witness this incident, and we're appealing to them to make contact with us. The area would have been very busy at the time, and if anybody was in that area with a dash cam, that would be invaluable to us, really, if anybody could make that footage available to us. Gardaí in Buncrana could be contacted on 9320540 if anybody has any relevant information in relation to
it. And I presume the person involved in that, obviously they knew it happened and burdened with that to some extent. You know what I mean? I'd say it's been sitting on their head now for a month. They know the Gardaí is still actively investigating it. Maybe they can relieve themselves of that pressure and that guilt by making contact themselves.
Of course. And yeah, the driver, we do believe the driver did stop to check, you know, was the person okay? So we're just appealing them to come in. Come in, speak to anybody in Buncrana, or even if they're living in a different area, call to your local station, just make them aware that it was you. CCTV from the area also is being viewed, and it's very possible that the car will be identified and then Gardaí will be arriving at the door of the driver at some stage. So rather than have that happen, we would rather they would come to us.
Yeah, okay. Right, now, I could be a colleague of yours next. It's not too late.
I was just going to suggest that
to
you.
It is not too late. What do you think?
I don't know. Are you considering a
public
career
change? Publicjobs.ie.
Yeah, this recruitment campaign started yesterday, January 15th.
I'm back in.
You're back in. You're in the running. we could switch positions yet.
Definitely.
You could be here giving the community guard a slot, and I could be interviewing you in a few years. So yeah, the recruitment campaign kicked off yesterday, January 15th. People possibly have seen the adverts already. They're on the radio, they're on TV, newspapers. This competition will run until 3 p.m. on the 8th of February. So to apply, you go to www.publicjobs.ie, create an account there, and that's where you apply to take part in this campaign. So the age limit, following a government decision, the age limit to apply to become a Garda trainee has increased from 35 to 50. From this competition onwards. So this is the starting point really now. If you're up to age 50, you wish to join, now's your chance to do so. Maybe some people might have thought the opportunity had passed by, or maybe they're already considering a career change. Do you know what? People call into the station, I did say this a few weeks ago, and they're more than welcome to do so. We would have trainee Gardaí in the station in any of the 24-hour stations, Ballyshannon, Milford, Bunkrana and Letterkenny. We would have student Gardaí, we've probationer Gardaí who are not too long out of the Templemore system. I mean, in terms of asking me, I'd be considered a dinosaur at this stage.
Yeah,
you know,
you're a veteran.
Well, the whole training process has changed since I was there. I mean, of course, I could advise people in relation to my experience of being a guard, and I have no problem
with
that.
But there are videos, actually, you know, because it's always been the case, so it's not specific to this, that the fitness exams and what have you are variant already dependent on age and gender. Yeah. So there's nothing new there, and they are being adjusted for this cohort. There are videos available that people can practice them and see how they'd get on, or if they're capable of it as well, through that website, if I'm not mistaken, or at least through the An Garda Síochána website. But that being said, if you join the Guards, there's no fast tracking here. You do end up doing what everybody else does, which is the probation period. You're on the front line, you're out there, you'll be expected to work nights and weekends and what have you.
Of course, yeah.
But that being said, there is a starting salary, and then there is progression within that, and there's uplifts through overtime and allowances and what have you. So, hey, it might be there for someone. And I think, too, people might wonder, well, do we really need older guards? But different people of different ages and different backgrounds, and I know the Gardaí are keen for the force to represent the population as much as possible, but they bring different, you know, after the probation is finished, they bring different life experiences to the job as well. So I think there's lots of advantages for the force as well as for those who might be inclined to.
There are, of course. And listen, maybe sometimes, in a way, somebody that's that bit younger is a bit, should I say, wet behind the ears, you know. Yeah. And often people maybe in their late 30s, 40s have had a lot of life experience, and they can bring a lot of positive experiences that they've lived throughout their life to the job. And we would ask everybody to consider people from different backgrounds, no matter what your situation is. And if you're doubting it, if you're on the borderline and you're kind of considering and you're not sure, call to the Garda station.
Yeah, the 24-hour stations.
Yeah,
then, yeah,
speak to any of us maybe that have experience, you know, years of experience within the guards. Talk to the probationer guards. They can go through the training process with you, the fitness test. They can explain each step to you. And then maybe you'd be better informed then, really, to make your decision before you apply.
Yeah. For sure. Right. Okay. Text alert meeting. It's already taken place.
I did, yeah. We had it last night down in the Station House Hotel. It was held for the coordinators of the text alert schemes from within the Letterkenny district. So we have 12 text alert schemes within the Letterkenny district.
Can I ask before you go on? There used to be an awful lot of talk of that stuff, right? And then you would see these texts aired on social media or whatever it might be. Is there still a very active text alert system across the county, or has it lost a bit of momentum through COVID, or maybe volunteers moving on or something? Like, is it a area that needs a rejigging, rejuvenating? Sorry,
it is, and this is countrywide. This is not just within Letterkenny or Donegal, you know. And unfortunately, that is the case. That's the reason, the main reason why the meeting was called last night. We're trying to rejuvenate the scheme, really, within the Letterkenny district. We're trying to get it back up and running as it was maybe a number of years ago. And because of COVID, as you said, there's a new call system in place also within the Guards. But for various other reasons, the scheme has, you know, it has started to slip in ways and become fairly dormant in some areas, really. So we're just keen to get it up and running. The groups are keen to get it up and running. And we, and in Garda Síochána, we're keen also. That scheme is of great benefit to us, to the local communities. It's of massive benefit to us also to receive the information as a result of these text alerts going out. So we had Superintendent Gretty Sheridan from the Letterkenny district. She was there last night. Councillor Patrick McGowan, Mr. Niall Garvey also travelled up. We're thankful to him. He travelled up from Clare last night. He's the CEO of Munster na Chéire. So, and various members of Garda Síochána were in attendance. So he, Niall Garvey, gave a presentation last night. There's a new app, Carja app. Many text alert schemes throughout the country, I should say, are using this app and have been using it for a long time now. So he explained this app, the benefits of the app. So each group now has gone away. They're discussing it with their membership. They're deciding whether or not to take this app on board. Listen, it's a matter, we all have to get our heads together now. We have to sit down. We have to try and rejuvenate it any way we can, get it up and running. I think a lot of people too depend, you know, they get a lot of peace of mind from the text alert scheme, you know, to be kept in the loop, to know what's happening. And as I said already, it's a massive benefit to us to receive the information from them, that we depend on the eyes and ears on the ground. Yeah, you know, we depend on the public.
Yep.
So we are just letting people know. We're very thankful also. I just want to say to anybody, any of the groups, the people who came to the meeting this night, the roads weren't great. And we'd like to thank them for braving the weather last night and coming out. So we are going to hold a further meeting now in the very near future. We're going to circulate details of that to all the groups. And we're all going to sit down in the meantime, get our heads together and come up with ways that we can revamp it and get it up and running as smoothly as possible.
Okay.
So I would just like to thank everybody again that came last night. If anybody's interested actually in setting up also a text alert scheme within their own area that hasn't already got one, they can contact me even at Letterkenny Station, even if it's not within my area, and I can then put them in touch with the coordinator from their local they may possibly have a group set up already in their area that they're not aware of. Or if they want to set up, I had a man contact me yesterday, wishes to set one up in his area. There's none up and running there already. And so I'm looking into that for him at the minute and get that.
Alright, okay. Keep us up to date as things move forward in that regard. Okay, some questions. This one regarding firearms licensing. Is there any plans to reform the application process, as it seems to take a long time to process and it's not consistent from one application to another? In particular, substitution applications could be slicker. I know the process in Northern Ireland could be processed on the day by a registered gun dealer. A reform could save on Garda Síochána resources and be more accommodating to the applicant.
This caller is possibly very right that a reform could maybe solve many of these problems, but there are no plans at present that I'm aware of, and I have checked, to reform the firearms application system. Sometimes when applications come in, there can be a hold-up. There could be these forms. There's a lot of boxes.
Passports, is it?
Some of these.
You know how we keep messing up the passport applications. Is it like?
Yeah, kind of like that sometimes. Sometimes people maybe forget to update the information. Mm. You know, if they're using a certain land and the landowner's details and that needs to be changed and maybe that's not changed, that could hold it up then, the confusion, you know, involving that. Sometimes people forget there could be the smallest box they haven't ticked or they've left out vital information in the form, and then that causes a hold up. We would ask everybody when you're submitting your form, please go through it with a fine tooth comb. Make sure you've no errors, you're not missing any vital information on it. This can hold up the process. Of course, loads of relevant checks have to be carried out on our side too before it can be processed. We would say also, if anybody has submitted a firearms application, if they're waiting and they feel that it's a lengthy period since they submitted it, please do ring your local station or ring, you know, your local district headquarters, and we will check it out for you.
Yeah. Okay. Greg, could you ask Grania about the lane setup at Lifford Roundabout? What lane do you use if you are coming across Lifford Bridge heading to Letterkenny? What lane do you use? Okay, so I know where they're talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the golden rule, listen, I will talk about Lifford Roundabout in particular in a second. So this golden rule should help all motorists to drive safely at any roundabout, regardless of the number of exits in that roundabout. So you have to think of the roundabout as a clock. If taking any exit from the 6 o'clock to the 12 o'clock position, motorists should generally approach in the left-hand lane. If taking any exit between 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you should generally approach in the right-hand lane. So if there are roads, many of the roundabouts now have the road markings with the arrows telling you exactly which lane you should be in on approach to that roundabout. And if there are those markings, of course, follow those directions. So in relation to this roundabout in Lifford, there are no specific road markings or signage to tell you specifically which lane you should be in, you know. Sometimes you see maybe Letterkenny, you know, in one lane on the ground, you know exactly Stranorlar in the other lane. This isn't the case at that roundabout. So when you're travelling in Lifford from the bridge, I think that's what the question said, from the bridge, you're heading towards the roundabout. There are only two options available to you, the left-hand turn and stay in the right lane, or take the left-hand turn towards Stranorlar. So based on the 12 o'clock rule, if you wish to travel to Letterkenny, you should remain in the right-hand lane, because the exit to Letterkenny is between the 12 o'clock and the 6 o'clock position.
Well, now, Gráinne, I don't want to fall out with you here, and you are the guard. Seriously?
Yeah, well, now, I have checked this with my colleagues that in the station.
I mean,
and
it's
this
1
is
o'clock.
I am open to correction now.
No,
but this
I'm
has,
not contradicting you, but, oh, no, I'm going to have people cut me up left, right and centre now.
Oh, no, I know, no. And the general rule at roundabouts is, you see, when you're on the left-hand lane, that's
but
for the first
the
and second
right-hand
exit.
Lane, you need the right-hand lane to go into Lifford or to return back over the bridge. Leave the left-hand lane for... It's close enough to 12, Gráinne. It's a little after 12.
It is after 12, Craig. It's a little after 12. It is. This is the general consensus. I have checked it out.
I
have
asked.
Oh, no, I know. And listen, I've read up on it as well. And I know, generally, rules can vary depending on the type of the roundabout, depending on whether or not there's markings on the road.
There's these markings that you see them at Tullyhaw roundabout and others, whereby there are two lanes, but there's no direction. They've got these strange shaped triangles. Yeah. That means take your pick.
That is the case, actually, at the Lifford roundabout. It is the triangle shape that's on the road. There's no, you know.
So maybe it's just whatever's best for the movement of traffic then, really, at that point.
Well, I would imagine so. I
people mean, coming down Lurgy Brack, this is completely separate. People coming down Lurgy Brack and using the right-hand lane to turn left to Letterkenny does my head in.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to do it, but if we all did it, then it would be a disaster. Because that leaves three lanes of traffic going into two lanes of traffic in towards Letterkenny, which I think has been the result of a lot of crashes at the time. But if people think they can save 3 or 4 minutes, they are going to go into the wrong lane, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, listen, I think that the issue probably would be resolved with the proper road
markings
and the proper signage,
100%.
You know. Because I know, look, there's a lot of confusion around that and many other roundabouts also.
But
not
even
just
when there is proper signage.
Yeah, well, people
play fast and loose on roundabouts.
They do generally, unfortunately.
Indicators are so important on a roundabout.
They are, of course.
They're so
important
on a roundabout.
Yeah, and I think, look, there's a lot of confusion generally in relation to roundabouts, big roundabouts, whether they're a mini roundabout like the one in Lifford, but it's just based on the 12 o'clock rule that when, you know, if it's after 12 o'clock, you know, that you stay in the right-hand lane. And
if there's no other turn-off before 12, though, other than the one out towards Ballybuffet, Gráinne,
yeah,
we're going to have to do a poll here.
We're going to... Yeah, I am open to correction, but
No, but you're the letter of the law.
Yeah,
I mean,
I have asked
you
colleagues.
Do your research.
I've
that's why you should be here and I should be a trainee guardie over there.
Well, you see, that could happen yet too.
All right, so I don't know. Listen, I don't think they'd accept me. All right, listen, of course they would. Why wouldn't they? All right, Gráinne, thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
That's Garda Gráinne Doherty with the Letterkenny Garda Station, and that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 16th of January. The item's back for you live after 10 o'clock next Tuesday, and we'll recap this on our Facebook page and on Garda Síochána Conaire Facebook page a little later on in the day. Now, we mentioned this for you yesterday. Oxfam Ireland have put together figures which shows that Ireland's richest 1% own 35.4% of Irish financial wealth. The Director of Public Affairs at Oxfam Ireland is Breed McGrath. Good morning, Breed. Thanks very much for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Not at all.
It's hard to get your head around it, isn't it? 1% of the population, the richest, hold 35.4% of Ireland's financial wealth. It's a huge number, but a small amount of people.
And it's even worse when you consider that Ireland's two richest people, right, who are billionaires, have more wealth than 50% of the population.
Combined.
The two of them combined, yeah.
Yeah.
Or sorry, like the two of them combined and the 50% of the Irish population combined. So yes, like half of us equal the two of them.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, people paying the fair amount of tax, these people are kind of somewhat insulated about it because our tax system is set up, isn't it, right? So you tax income, but you don't actually tax wealth as such. Or perhaps we don't tax it effectively to ensure that it's a fairer country.
So that's exactly right. Ireland, to be fair to us, has a progressive tax system when it comes to taxing income or earnings. So it is greater at the top and it is somewhat redistributed to the people most in need. So in that sense, we're not the worst country in the world by any manner of means. But where we are actually quite bad in global comparative terms is on taxing wealth. For some reason, we have let that go in Ireland as an opportunity, not just to draw in money into the public purse, which is important, but also to understand that this everything has to be about your fair share. So a lot of these guys can kind of move money at the flick of a switch, but they also pay serious money to lawyers and professionals to do what's called aggressive tax planning. I think the rest of us might call that tax avoidance, or there might even be another word for it, which is even less legal. But I think all of us understand, why are there these people at the very, very top who have billions at their disposal? And it turns out in some ways they're paying less tax than their secretary. Like, there's something very wrong there.
Yeah, and as well as that too, and it's nationally, but it's also globally, that we have a situation whereby the poorer are getting poorer. You know, people are literally starving. And yet we have a small group of individuals that have not only a ton of the world's wealth, but it's actually growing and growing to the point whereby we're going to see our first trillionaire very, very soon. And you can compare that to how destitution is spreading around the world, and people are getting richer and more people are getting poorer.
So that's exactly right, Greg. And it's a sad fact, and I suppose it takes reports like this, big global reports from Oxfam that they do every day, to really point it out to us, because maybe we don't live in these worlds, so we don't know. But the world's five richest men, as you said, and they're all men, have seen their fortunes double since 2020, while 5 billion people got poorer. So, and exactly as you say, Oxfam are saying at the current rate, so if nothing changes and we stay exactly the way we are, in a decade, the world will see its first trillionaire. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it...
That's a billion, isn't it? Really effective.
It's really tricky to figure out, even just like, what does that look like, you know, all stacked up in a room? But even more worryingly, it will take 229 years to end poverty. So
that's if there was any will at all to end poverty, but there isn't. And what annoys me a little bit too, and I'm not being critical of people, but one of those billionaires, the free thinkers, or those that see themselves as free thinkers and might call other people sheep, they hold some of these people up to be gods. You know, and they are sitting on this massive, massive wealth while children are unable to feed themselves, dying of starvation. And a lot of them are making the money off war as well and all those type of things. But we could get into that till we're blue in the face. Either way, you think, or not you personally, but you probably hold the view as well, that the government needs to look at a property tax, not necessarily an income tax as such, but not a property tax, but a wealth tax.
A wealth tax in this country.
Because it could raise an awful lot of money, but then you have to trust that that money would be evenly distributed as well. And that's another story altogether. But a start would be that everyone pays their fair share.
Yes, because we're all expected to pay our fair share. So again, I don't see why these people can somehow avoid it. And the other thing is their wealth. I think, like you say, I think we somehow have stars in our eyes about these billionaires. And we think in some way, you know, that it was purely genius that got them to that place. That is the case for some folks. But mostly, as the report shows, wealth begets wealth. You know, so if you sort of start wealthy, you can continue and build that up. A lot of wealth is inherited wealth also. But there are a group of billionaires or millionaires called patriotic millionaires. And one of those people is called Abigail Disney. Now, again, hers would be inherited wealth, and she's not short of a few bob, as they say. But Abigail Disney has set up this group of patriotic millionaires. They're actually telling, in her case, the United States, but they're from all around the world. And they're saying, look, we are willing to pay our fair share, but you have to tax us. And what she says is, there's more than enough money in the world to solve the world's problems. The problem is, it's held in the hands of the few. So, like, that's a really sad thing to think about. Mm. It's also true when you think about food. Like, there's more than enough food in the world for people not to be hungry. The problem is getting it to them.
Yeah.
So I think we can't let these moments pass us by and not understand that we are living in a world where inequality is getting worse. Just,
I don't know how people, and listen, I'm not on about moderate wealth, because those people are most likely to pay their share. And that's fine. And people mm-hmm. should be encouraged to accumulate wealth and fair play to them. But I just would struggle to understand how people could have more money than they can even comprehend or spend or whatever, or even flutter away and sleep comfortably in their bed at night, knowing that that money is locked away somewhere doing nothing except gathering more money, whilst there are people that are completely and utterly destitute in other areas of the world. You would have to be assured that that money would be spent in a way that would lift those other people. But I still don't understand how I struggle to sleep at night because of lack of money sometimes. I think I would sleep more difficultly if I had that amount of money and simply just slept on it. Okay, listen, it's food for thought. Breed, thank you so much for your time and take care of yourself. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Breed McGrath, Director of Public Affairs at Oxfam. I do have to take a very short break. Back with our next guest after these. Councillor Nicholas Crossan joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so there was an error on the website. So what was the error, Nicholas?
The error, and I checked it out with the Customs House yesterday, Greg, because it was a fairly hot topic yesterday. The wording was, it could be interpreted in a very few various different ways, but it was, as far as a lot of people were concerned, it was very clear that you must, if you're registered, you must include now your PPSN number, your date of birth and your air code. So just at the outset, Greg, I'd like to tell anybody that is on the register at this present moment in time, there is no need to do that. And I can have that confirmed, that there is no need to confirm your PPS number or your date of birth or your air code if you're on the register. If you're registering for the first time, yes, you're going to have to provide your PPSN number. Mm-hmm. But there's huge confusion throughout the whole of Ireland yesterday regarding it.
And why is it controversial that even if you were on the register and you were trying to check, that you would have to include that information? Pardon my ignorance, Nicholas. Why was that controversial?
Some people, and I can see their point on it, that they don't like to give away their information to different bodies. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. And when I heard about this yesterday, Greg, I went on myself to, and it's very easy, it's checktheregister.ie. I went on to that. It says you must upgrade your date of birth and all that. So I put those details in yesterday. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying, there are people who have a problem putting in date of birth or their air code.
But they would have to have done that already to be on the register, would they not? They're just reaffirming it?
I don't think the air code was on it,
okay.
Greg. You see, the old way, you still can go to the Garda station with a form.
Understood.
And go down and get identified at the Garda station. If you don't want to go online, you can still go down to that and you do not have to give your PPS number, as to the best of my knowledge, on that particular form. But what I'm saying is that the local authorities, for our example, Donegal County Council, are in charge of ensuring that the register is accurate and correct. It's the people's own responsibility to register, to vote. Mm. And I think that's what happened. There's an awful lot of people saying, okay, there's a referendum coming up in March and there's the local elections coming up in June, and they want to make sure that they're on to vote for that, and that confusion yesterday. So I would say that it'll probably hit nationally today that it is coming out as your PPS number, date of birth, and air code at this present moment in time. But what I could...
Well, they've changed the website already, but people have already received documentation through the post with the misinformation on it. So what you're giving people is the up-to-date information. They can disregard that area of the information on the pamphlet that might have been put through their door. Important too, I suppose, with democracy, that everyone is on the register or ensures they're on the register, because as you say, there's a few important votes coming up this year, and you know, it's good if people have their say.
It's good that the people have their say, but there are some people who are registered twice because
they've moved
from one place to another within a local area or a different part of the county or even out of the county.
But the thing is, Nicholas, what's frustrating about that is I can't remember when the last local elections were, but I remember saying
2019.
I remember saying on the next day back or the week back, I said at the time that, you know, coming up to the next election, we're going to be talking again about this register and that people are on it twice, and there's going to be postmen that will contact us and say, you know, that people are getting two cards and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And back in 2019, 2020, that was the time to go through all of this, to tidy up the register, to change the system. And yet here we are again in the mouth of referendi and elections, and we're kind of having the same conversation. It can be frustrating, little country we live in this.
It is. It's lastminute.com, and I agree 100% what you're saying, Greg. This, it's not to say local elections actually are 125 years old in April of this year. So we're looking forward. I'm looking forward to celebrating them some way that women voted for the first time local elections as 100. So it's not only 2019, it's 1899 since this should have been the way they had plenty of time to sort it out, Greg.
Listen, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate that and good advice. Councillor Nicholas Crossan there. News on the way.